got Wooski on the mix.
Trying to stay up out the way, she got me puked off. Niggas acting high, but aside these niggas really soft. I tell bro to throw that pack around just like he jerk off. Looking at my fit, I got the drip, my drill lost in the sauce. I tell bro to sling that steely, fuck you up like Tony Stark. When I'm in the legs, don't twist the key, cause this a push to start. When I tuck my I stand on business like the military. I tell bro to hit his top, I fuck around and got him buried. Bro making niggas move out there, I'll stay like these little niggas scared. Caught a nigga walking to the store, I want his inventory. Talking hot up on the net, they better stand on that. I tell bro to leave a new flat, cause I don't f*** a rat. I don't know if that hoe bust down, so I can't eat a cat. Ratted on my name, I feel a fight, that's how we double back. I was trying to stay up out the way, sh** got me puked out. Niggas acting high, but aside, they me feel really soft. I tell bro to throw that pack around just like he Jericho. Looking at my fit, I got the drip, my get off standing soft. I tell bro to sling that steely, f*** you up like Tony Stark. When I'm in the legs, don't twist the key, cause this a push to start. When I talk my sh**, I stand on business like the military. I was trying to hit a top, I f*** around and got him buried. Puked out, puked out, puked out, puked out, puked out, puked out, puked out. This shit got me puked out. This got me pissed off, pissed off, pissed off, pissed off, pissed off, pissed off, pissed off. This got me pissed off, this got me mad. Walk up in a club, I got like 50 in my bag. He know he can't fuck with me with his hating her. I done spent the bag, then when it got a bigger bag. Go, bitch, I'm what it pissed off. I might let this switch off. PG up, that's my shit. I'm a big boss. Then them tears Rick Owens, they know this shit costs. I might spend like 20 on veneer so I can risk floss. Eating good like Rick Ross. Watch me win this tip off. Trying to get a touchdown on the nine and he got picked off. You niggas in the way. Y'all ain't got no pay. Hit my line telling me to pop out. Man, move to hop out Drake. Got me picked off, picked off, picked off, picked off, picked off, picked off, picked off. This got me picked off, picked off, picked off, picked off, picked off. This got me pissed off, pissed off, pissed off, pissed off, pissed off, pissed off, pissed off. This got me pissed off, pissed off, pissed off, pissed off, pissed off, pissed off, pissed off. This got me.
Say, blessed.
my beloved son. World is ugly, dark and beautiful for some. Stay for dinner, you have time and more. Don't go play them streets with those strangers anymore.
Silver lining in the storm. Yeah, it can feel like it's hard to find it when it pours. I know it can get bad, but you'll get through it. If you wanna turn back, baby, keep moving. Found out a curse means a blessing, and down in the hurt is a lesson. No rain, no rain, no. Cause I- liar, baby, you're a cheater. Doesn't even matter that you didn't mean it. No, I guess it's over now. Cause baby, you're a liar, baby, you're a cheater.
My calls, I was flying so high for you, and you just let me fall. The darkness comes and it goes, I guess the happiness does too. You got a magnetic pull, I wanna run and hide from you.
Give it a little time. It might come back. is the silent witness to intuition. See, I knew something was coming, 'cause the ground
This is Formula Indy. Subscribe to the podcast and receive a new episode every day on your device.
Love, two men, two girls. I do the talking.
I have been living in Berlin, and of course, you know, we can't compare like a old cultural center of Europe to Estonian capital, you know, like it's obviously more there, you know, but small places very often have also their own advantages, you know, like in terms that everything is more concentrated. Some things go actually faster. The scene is more compact, you know, have better contact to the people. It's more together, everything, you know, like it's actually easier here to find the audience. I have been living in Berlin. Listen now to the sound of polybox. This is Pavel's Russian synthesizer, actually. Oh! This noise generator I really like on this. That's the real life of the musician.
Why are the keys so yellow? It seems they used to be white, no?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I bought it like this.
All these crackles, they are arrows, or are they meant to be like this here?
Yeah, these are arrows, yeah. For this, I like this instrument, that you can get all these things out of it, yeah. For noise stuff, it's excellent. Something in between piano and this, that you have both sounds. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One like on the door, one from this.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
This will be probably like we would play together.
Okay.
Thank you. I think improvising is very simple. Improvising basically is that you try to find out how many different ways are there to make the same thing. So that's all.
Airing on Asheville FM in Asheville, this is The Final Straw Radio, a weekly anarchist and anti-authoritarian broadcast and podcast emanating out of occupied Chalagee land in southern Appalachia. We bring you voices and perspectives from projects and struggles all around the world, and you can find our archives, transcripts, ways to follow us and support us at thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org. This week, you'll hear an interview with Jeremy White, filmmaker, activist, and street medic who's facing prison time in what has been dubbed the San Diego Antifa case. You'll hear Jeremy talk about what happened on January 9th, 2021 at the Stop the Steal rally, how the police interacted with members of American Guard and Proud Boys as they assaulted passersby, the conspiracy theory-driven DA Summers Steffen, and where the case is now. This interview was recorded in mid-March of 2024, before the case had resumed. You can find show notes with links to fundraisers for some of the defendants, as well as the transcript of this interview at our website.
My name is Jeremy. I go by he or they pronouns, and I'm an activist and organizer based out of Los Angeles.
Jeremy, could you give a brief overview of what happened on January 9th, 2021 at Pacific Beach in San Diego? And kind of like when you showed up there, what you and other folks were expecting? I know this was just 3 days after the right-wing demonstrations took place across the USA, including in D.C., you know, with the attempted coup. So if you could kind of just talk about what the air was like and sort of what the call was for this demonstration and what you were expecting.
Yeah, so on January 9th, 2021, there was a protest by some San Diego Trump supporters, right-wingers, that was planned. It was a Stop the Steal rally like they were having all over the country. The thing about this one protest, it wasn't just politically charged Trump supporters. It was members of the Proud Boys and American Guard that had also vocalized that they were going to be there. As we know now, you know, watching everything that happened with the DC hearings, the Proud Boys have been proven to be a violent gang. So, and then the American Guard is a well-known white supremacist group that's always getting wrapped up in violence. I don't think it started in San Diego. I think it started on the East Coast, but it's definitely got a stronghold here. They decided to have this rally, and local anti-fascists from San Diego put together a counter protest. People were invited from neighboring cities to come support if they could. And I was invited to come take part as a street medic, which is something I've been doing for years now. We got down there. It was kind of like any other action with these right wingers, you know, like standard procedure. The cops securely have their backs to them, facing us with their weapons and their batons. These guys were violent from the moment we hit the ground on the boardwalk. We were shot at with a BB gun by the kid of one of the American Guard members. People brought knives and smoke grenades and different kinds of weapons, vests, things like that. And we just went through like a counter protest throughout the day. It was certainly no different than most other actions I've been to. I was there de-escalating, treating people. We go home after the police call a dispersal order. I don't even think there were arrests made that day. I could be wrong, but I don't think there was any arrests made that day. So we all go home, and 11 months later, at 4:30 in the morning, 12 activists from San Diego up to Los Angeles had their homes raided at the same time. And I've been dealing with this court case since, in and out of court for more than 2 years.
Since you were there, like, and you could see where the crowd of Stop the Steal folks were like putting their energy, like, is why did they go to Pacific Beach? It sounds like a pier area near the ocean. I don't know if it's some sort of, is it like near the administrative center of San Diego? Is it? Is there a federal building there? Or were they just like waiting for a counter demonstration, or just kind of getting angry at passersby? What was that like?
I think they just wanted publicity and visibility in their choice of a location. I could be wrong. I'm not from San Diego, so I'm not super familiar with the lay of the land there. But it is, like you said, it's like a pier. It's like going to Santa Monica to have a big protest. And I will say, with our experience with the Trump supporters, they love going to places like that. Like, they would constantly gather in Beverly Hills and Santa Monica, Hollywood, to have their little hate rallies. So I think that was just the case. They were just looking for a very visibly public place to throw up their Zeke Heil salutes and whatever else they were doing that day.
So would you talk a little bit about sort of the politics of San Diego? You've mentioned that groups like the Proud Boys or American Guard, you said, yeah. And other like, these are like fighting clubs. This is one thing that they focus on, is brawling with people in public places, like Western chauvinist organizations. So it kind of makes sense that they're looking for fights, because this is what they do and this is the aesthetic that they pull together. Can you give like an overview? I know you said you're not from San Diego, but you're close enough to the region. If you could talk about sort of the politics of the town. I know it's a big military town. Like, there's a lot of naval installations. It's right near the border with Mexico, so I'm sure it's like there's a lot of angry white people that are politicized around that sort of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you hit the nail on the head. And it's oddly, like, I've been going to San Diego most of my life. I grew up in Los Angeles, so it's economically, it just seems like a nice little beach town. But then when you get into politically, it's a lot more right wing ideology out there. Like you said about the border, you know, I don't know the stats on this, but I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of Border Patrol agents live down there because it's so close. And definitely a strong showing of right wing political support that we could see. San Diego up into Orange County was very pro Trump as well.
That definitely tracks. So 11, you said 11 months later, 4:30 a.m., knock on the door. Can you talk about what the arrest was like?
It was brutal. I had just been kind of getting to know the next door neighbors. I just moved into the place I'm at, and we were up late, probably 2:30 by the time I went to bed, and I go to sleep, and it felt like 15 minutes later, there's pounding on my door and a megaphone. And I was so disoriented. I threw on a bathrobe and started rushing down the stairs, slipped on the stairs, got to the door, you know, still tying my bathrobe shut when I opened the door, and there's an AR-15 and like 15 cops with a megaphone and a strobe light pointing at my face. It was pretty horrifying. They didn't announce who they were there for. They never at any point said names of anybody. They just said occupants of the address. I was the first one out. They made me, you know, without even having my robe tied, made me walk towards them and then turn around and get down and all that. So it was early December. It was very cold. Myself and my roommates were brought outside and just held outside for about an hour on the concrete with no shoes on. And then finally they brought me in and said, we have a warrant, search warrant for basically everything you own, every electronic, any bit of gear, any black clothing. Even, like, they took stuff that had nothing to do with protests. They took art off my wall that was like personal art that they said was Antifa art, which is really funny. I hope to see that in court. Like, as evidence. Like, they took my Squid Game masks that I made for cosplay for Halloween the year before and filed it as evidence. But yeah, we got through a few hours of them searching, and then they hauled me off to San Diego I wasn't in the car with anyone else. We were all brought separately, but then I started to see people file into this holding room, and it was apparent that this was a mass operation. Like, they hit 12 people at the same time, so early in the morning that nobody could, you know, call each other or mount a response or warning or anything, as they do. And we just started slowly finding out about it. while in jail, trying to get calls out to figure out what was going on. It was very scary.
Yeah, it that sounds really, really frightening, especially if you're not being told what the hell's going on. Antifa art, huh?
Apparently. And what's funny is I have a ton of anti-fascist art in my house. I make and like support local artists who are leftists. So I have a lot of great art, leftist art. This was not that. It's my film design logo that I made for myself. And I made a little tiny painting of it. And they said that this is some kind of Antifa related artwork. So that was really funny.
Yeah. Well, apparently they're art critics.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Would you talk a bit about the, and this was multiple agencies. I mean, it was out of the jurisdiction.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, but you were like in another interview, you've mentioned, well, could you go rattle off some of the names of agencies that were involved in this?
Yeah. It was a multi-jurisdictional, multi-agency task force between San Diego PD, LAPD and LA sheriffs. So I had representatives from all those fine organizations inside of my living room, you know, threatening and bullying, and it's like it's crazy. I still walk through there sometimes and can feel the energy, you know.
Yeah.
I remember the thing that I said to them as they finally like took me off. They let me get dressed in front of like 10 cops inside my living room, stripped me down naked, and made me get dressed so I can go to jail. And then they were taking me out to the car, and I saw, I mean, the entire block is cop cars, 30 cop cars from end to end, and that was just for me. And I didn't even know at this point that there were 11 other people. And I told him right before he put me in the car, you know, we could have healthcare, but we have this instead. And I didn't, at that point, I didn't even know the scope of it. Once we got locked up, I started hearing the cops from San Diego talk about all the overtime they're racking up and you know, chuckling with each other about how they're making money. It's just surreal, you know?
Yeah, it's a good thing they're union jobs. Yeah. God, that sucks. So I guess, would you talk a bit about the so-called San Diego Antifa case, what's alleged, and who stands accused? And then I'd like after that to get into particular charges that you were facing initially.
Yeah. So the San Diego Antifa case has been brought forward by the DA of San Diego, Summer Steffen, who I didn't know anything about her. I never heard her name until this case. And you start looking into it, she's got alarming ties to local groups like the American Guard, right-wing, hard-right political donors down in San Diego. Like, there's her biggest donor is the father of that kid who just got indicted on the January 6th riots. A well-known internet influencer that started stirring the pot for January 6th, and he's been wrapped up in the lawsuit now. So she's got close ties. There's been some like quid pro quo stuff where a member of the American Guard got arrested. The sheriffs in San Diego themselves recommended prosecution, and she declined. And then there's a campaign contribution from the guy in question. So there's stuff like that we're definitely going to bring up at trial and show the jury. You know, 12 Antifa. They're anti-fascist activists. Like, there's not even, there's no org. There's no, like, I never once paid dues or was on an email chain or anything like that. It's not an organization. It's just it's an ideology, as we know. But 12 of us were arrested as if we were some organized criminal gang. And the actual organized criminal gang of the American Guard was, like, completely off the hook. And the stuff they were doing that day was crazy to think about. Like, at the end of the action, after the police issued the dispersal and all the leftists went home and started essentially avoiding being hunted by the police, as we did exactly as they asked and went back to our cars, you know, we've all seen that. The American Guard was free to do what they intended to that day, which is initiate violence unchecked on the community. And they did just that. There was two people walking down an alley. The man had a shirt on. I don't know what the shirt said. It was something about George Floyd or Black Lives Matter. I don't even think he was at the protest. If he was, he was just a local that was interested. So he's walking away, and this group attacks him, jumps him, and the female companion he had with him, jumped them and beat them up so bad that the woman pissed herself, and then they bragged about that on the video afterwards. And this was all, this has all hit the desk of the DA. She's seen it all, and she has refused to prosecute any violence that the right instituted. So it just becomes a clear case of selective prosecution, and it's incredibly politically motivated. When she was first, one of the other defendants that's still going to trial with me was the first to get arrested. I think a few months before all this happened, he was arrested. I could be wrong on the exact details, but he had a court case before we ever got to court. And I guess Summer Steven or her minion. Yes, ADA. Were straight up just quoting Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham in court to the judge to try to make their case. And that's unhinged in regards to like Antifa being this gang. And
the Final Straw is a proud member of the Channel Zero Network of Anarchist Podcasts, and here's a jingle from another member of CZN.
Welcome to Molotov Now, a podcast about taking action. In Molotov Now, we analyze and discuss news articles and stories of resistance from around the globe and connect them to our struggles here at home in Aberdeen, Washington.
In the spirit of building solidarity between the rural and the urban, we hope to inspire direct action in the face of oppression and to light a fire to find each other in the darkness.
This is the Final Straw Radio on the Pacifica Network, and you're hearing our interview with Jeremy White, a defendant in the so-called San Diego Antifa case, stemming from a counter-demonstration to a Stop the Steal rally in San Diego, California, on January 9th, 2021, at which Jeremy showed up as a street medic. This interview was recorded in mid-March of 2024. Yeah, so you were just talking about like the violence that was conducted by the participants and some of the participants of the Stop the Steal rally that was there. And as I understand, too, they, you know, members of that crowd were throwing smoke bombs at people and were shooting with like BB guns and such. Is that right?
There was a kid who came to the event. That was pretty early on, if memory recalls, before the big head-to-head clash between the two sides. They were just stalking us on the boardwalk. They'd send a couple people in to harass. One of them was a minor. He was like 17-ish, came in with a group of his friends, coming in saying Antifa, and he pulled out a BB pistol and fired it. And he actually got detained and let go, and no charges were filed for him bringing a weapon to a protest. So it's clearly a one-sided thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, considering the kind of damage that even like, I mean, not to make light of it, but you can shoot your eye out with one of those. And like directing that towards people with political motivation is, I mean, in North Carolina, if it was a leftist, they would call that coming armed to the terror of the people, you know, a misappropriation of an anti-Klan law that's on the, you know, on the books.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you were talking about conspiracy theories and the prosecutor, but as I understand, you also heard some of like similar conspiracy theories touted among some of the arresting officers, right? Or at least the officers on duty at the day of, I'm not sure which, concerning George Soros.
Yeah, I was asked if I got money or how much money I got from George Soros for protesting, as were some of the other defendants when we first got pulled into interrogation. And I just laughed and told them, you know, I'm not going to say anything. I want a lawyer. And it was very odd to hear it in person from an authority figure like that. Like I've had that levied against me for years now online and even in person at protests from some of these right wingers, but to have two detectives asking me that officially on a recorded thing was mind blowing, very surreal. I've never been paid. Like all of my whole history of activism has been grassroots. I've never joined any NGO or anything because it feels inherently flawed. So I've never gotten a dime for doing activism or organizing unless I was broke and needed support and put out a request for funds for something and people would help. But yeah, it's insane to me that they really do believe that we're this shady funded thing, that BLM was the same thing. It's wild to me that they just can't understand. I think that's the crux of it. That's kind of what I experienced with the gamut of political organizing, from like marching for Bernie back in the day to marching against fascists. They just don't understand the passion and how we feel the need to be out there and stand up for what we believe in. So we have to be paid. We must be paid, right? I think that's the attitude I've gotten across the board.
Yeah. Yeah. And not only do we have to be paid, but that we need to have someone giving us orders.
Yeah.
You know, and it falls in, like, when you're pointing to this, like, yes, influential survivor of the Holocaust from Hungary who does run like liberal think tanks and is a billionaire. Like he does fund politicians. He does fund organizations. But again, as you said, mm-hmm. like being an anti-fascist does not mean you're involved in an organization. And it's a pretty old trope that was like, this was a Nazi and Klan thing back in the 1930s, was the idea that black folks couldn't be organizing themselves. Dumb workers couldn't be organizing themselves into unions without somebody trying to motivate them through pay, because they have some nefarious plan of breaking down the righteous social order of the United States, or challenging like natural racial separation, or whatever sort of story people are telling themselves who believe in these like anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. It tends to be Jewish yeah. string pullers. It, you know, definitely goes back to Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion stuff. And that's a thing that's been repeated by Summer Steffen, as I understand. It was on like a website, I think your lawyer maybe back in November.
Oh yeah.
Brought a challenge in the court. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, he filed a motion for dismissal based on selective persecution and really shined a light on her hard right ideologies. That was part of it. She had reposted and shared some really questionable stuff. Just her associations are super sketch when you think about like the people that she's getting money from and how that manifested into this court case, you know, to trying to set a national precedent for going after anti-fascist protesters as if they're a gang. But the motion didn't pass. It is, hopefully, I believe, and my lawyer believes, will make an impact, because the judge has seen it, and we can talk about these things in trial and talk to the jury about it. But it's for me, it just seems very obvious that there's a quid pro quo. You know, none of these guys. There's another thing that happened while we were on the ground. We didn't find out about it until way later, but the police were on their radio to each other from the helicopter down on the ground. They were talking back and forth, very clearly understanding each other, having a full-on conversation about the Proud Boys have hijacked this protest. They're not with the program. They're anti-police, and we can't control them anymore. And this was after, when they gave their first dispersal order, we said, cool, peace, we left, right? And the Proud Boys and American Guard and other people there just decided to get more violent and unruly as the day went on. And that's exactly what we knew would happen. So the fact that she hasn't prosecuted any of that really, I think, speaks to who she is as a person and what her political beliefs are and how they're clouding anything, any semblance of justice in this situation.
I mean, if I was a cop too, I'd be pretty pissed off about that.
Yeah. Thinking these are your guys, thinking they had your back, and then they give you the middle finger too. It's, yeah.
Yeah, well, also just like, yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about the DA giving you the finger, like, okay, yeah. Like the counter protesters have left of their own accord once they were asked to. And then you've got these biker looking dudes who are still like trying to make problems and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And perfectly fine, you know, attacking cops, as has been seen in a lot of instances around the country.
Absolutely.
A few days later.
Absolutely.
Six.
Yeah. Just 3 days later, yeah, they were celebrating it among themselves. Some of the people present on the day in Pacific Beach were at the Capitol, too. And some of them that were present were at downtown L.A. just 3 days before. They had their own, like, J6 thing where right at City Hall, they were assaulting and attacking people that walked through. It was really ugly.